the Charlie Gunn real trip. Mr. Gunn, what were the Japanese soldiers doing? Those that you met on the way home?
Well, they were, of course, they were, some of them were manning, manning certain strategic points, you know. Well, the others are just moving about, you know, in the lorries, and that's about all I could see. I didn't see much of them because I was more concerned about going home and, you know, to my family, my parents. As a matter of fact, I was trying to avoid them as much as possible.
Did you encounter any difficulties on your way home?
No, not really. Not really. Not really.
How did your family members feel when they saw you?
Oh, of course, they were very happy. You know, they cried with joy, literally cried with joy, especially my old father. No father really, because I happen to be the only son.
Did you know what happened to them during the period of the war?
Certain part of the war, they evacuated to Johor for a few weeks, and for a month or so. And then when the Japanese came nearer to as they came down, then they evacuated from Johor back to Singapore. You see, my father, he went away. He evacuated to Johor because he was trying to avoid the Japanese bombing. The Japanese had started to bomb Singapore, so he was trying to avoid the Japanese bombing. I was quite happy when he was in Kukup, especially he was in Kukup, in Johor. Kukup, small town in Johor. He was quite happy down there, because the Japanese never bothered, you know, bombing that area. And until they came down, as they came down, I suppose they thought it's time for them to pack up, to come back to Singapore. They didn't want to be caught should the Japanese overrun the whole country, Johor, the whole state.
When the Japanese soldiers landed in Singapore, did they go to your home in Upper Serangoon area?
Oh yes, yes. They were all over. They were all over. No, only Singapore, everywhere, a whole lot. All over Singapore they were. Yes.
Did your family members face any troubles from the Japanese before you reached home?
Well, fortunately, this is the thing that I can find no explanation. Fortunately, we were on the certain part of that area, on a certain part of the area where it came under, presumably under a more humane Japanese commander, you know. So we didn't have much trouble. We were sent to concentration. You know, you heard about this concentration of the civilian population where so many thousands of them were just picked up, and up to today none of them have been heard. Huh? But as far as I know, down in our area, not a single young man or single man was missing during that concentration. All of us were sent home. And only after one concentration and no more. And you, as I said, the only explanation I could offer is that perhaps you are, that part of Serangoon could have come under a more humane commander, Japanese commander. That's the only explanation.
Which part of Upper Serangoon were you staying?
It's, you know where the Charlton Road is? As you go up on the right hand side, after the fifth mile. Between the fifth and the sixth mile, we were staying between the fifth and the sixth mile, Upper Serangoon.
So, which concentration center were you sent to?
Tampines. Those days were Coconut Estate. The Tampines was a Coconut Estate there. There was a big Coconut Estate. We were there. We were sent there. We all gathered around there.
The Coconut Plantation.
Coconut Plantation. That's right.
To go to the concentration center.
So the we civilians, the young and the old, every one of us.
Male and female.
Yes, every one of us, even a child, even babies were there.
How did all of you know that you had to report to that place?
Well, the Japanese soldiers early in the morning, very early in the morning, just shoot us, you know. They came to every house, they shoot us there again. We were like cattle being herded to that area.
Did you all know earlier that you would be expected to report, or was it a surprise?
No, no. I don't think we knew it. I don't think we knew. This took place, you know, quite early during after the surrender, you know. I think, I'm not sure, we didn't, not, certainly not beyond a fortnight after the surrender. Quite early, you know.
So, did all of you bring along any food, any clothing? Did all of you bring along any food or clothing?
No, I don't think we had chance to bring anything. We just, you know, of course, there was this language difficulty. So as far as the simple Japanese soldiers were concerned, they just say, oh, kura, 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 oh, 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 you know, just chase us out of the house and brought us to this concentration camp or this concentration area.
Was it an open space, the place that you went to? Did the Japanese fence it up?
No, fencing at all, Well, there wasn't any need of any fence. I suppose every one of us was so scared of our lives, too scared to move out. Once we sat down, we just would be there. We didn't move.
Did any of you have any idea what was going on at that time?
Not really. Just from time to time, instructions were given to us. For example, after all of us were gathered there, then instructions were given to us to ladies on one side, no? men on one side, ladies and children one area, and the men to be gathered in another area. It's just sort of instruction. And she up. Yes. I think we didn't bring anything. We didn't bring food. We didn't bring nothing. We didn't bring any drinks at all. So what happened was, around about late in the afternoon, around about 4 o'clock, I say, the ladies and the children, you know, began to feel thirsty and hungry. The children began to cry, and so I think it was my late brother-in-law went up to the commander, or at least the officer, to ask for the ladies and the children to be released early, see? And that was granted, you know. That was another indication to me that, you know, perhaps you were fortunate that you came under the command of, or under the charge of a kind officer. So they let the ladies off, and the men were detained later, until dusk time, you know, almost about 7 o'clock or so. But as far as I know, not one of us missing, you know. As far as I know, not one of us missing. Not one of us were taken from there. Which is amazing, because later on when we heard on the opposite side was this, there was this concentration at another gathering of this civilian. And there, our relatives were staying in that area, see. Three uncles of mine. Two uncles of mine, two cousins of mine were taken from there. And up to today, just across the road, the other side of it, another unit was in charge. See, this is the mystery that I adopted today.
During the whole day that all of you were at that place, did the Japanese question anyone of you?
Yes, I suppose so. They did come and ask certain questions. Not the detail of it, I can't remember. I can't remember the detail. Of course, myself, yes, I had to report to YMCA. I can be tired. And I had to, you know, on and off I had to go. And there were two occasions when, in the middle of the night, they called me. Middle of the night, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, they just wished me.
When you were at the concentration center, you spent the whole day there.
Yeah.
Did they have a systematic questionings of the people?
It was a sort of registration, that's all, I think. That was a sort of registration. That's all, you know. Sort of, you know, the normal, you know, your age and, you know, what your work, you know, the normal question asked when the person sort of registers himself for a job or something like that, you know. That, those are the questions, normal questions.
One by one up to register.
I think so.
Including the ladies and the children?
I don't know about the ladies. I don't think the ladies. Too many of us, I think.
Besides the personal particulars, do you remember any other questions that the Japanese asked you?
Not I can think of.
After the questioning, did they give you any paper or anything to prove that you have been questioned?
I cannot remember the one. But I had this YMCA pass, yes, when I went to NFA. That one, yes. But this one, I cannot remember. I don't think so.
Were all of you released after you were questioned, or were you still keep in?
No, we were detained. As I said, we were detained until dusk time. No, all the men were detained until dusk time. No, dark already.
Even after you have been questioned?
Yeah. Or perhaps the questioning was carried on. Because there were so many of us, I didn't know what actually was going on. See, there was quite a big place, you know. I didn't know really what was going on. Perhaps the questioning went on after I had my turn, you see. I didn't know about it.
Do you remember how many of you were there?
Oh God, I won't know. I don't know. Hundreds of us, easily hundreds. Including women, probably, good news, hundreds of us. Good news.
How many Japanese were there guarding the place?
I don't know really. Because there were the usual sentries around the area, but there must be somewhere elsewhere. I won't know.
Did you see any Japanese lodges?
You see, it's not like normal times. You know, when normal times, I would dare to go. If I see a garrison on there, perhaps I go out of curiosity. I might just go approach and see what's going on across the fence. But in those days, we were so scared. My God, if it happened to be a Japanese garrison down there, we would avoid it. We would stay miles away from that place. Try to stay miles away. We won't pay to be curious. And after all, we are not doing espionage work.
Did you see any lorries or any machine guns or anything on
display? Oh yes, quite normal. The weapons, yes. I mean, I happen to see the Japanese going up and down. You would see the normal the carrying the weapons, yes.
Were these at the place of the concentration?
No. Not in the, they carry their rifles and bayonets, yes, but not a machine gun. Not that I saw them. I suppose there was no necessity. We were unarmed. They were armed with rifles more than sufficient. Why should they carry the machine gun? There was no necessity.
How many Japanese question you over there? How many Japanese question of you?
There were a few tables, you know, and we would go up by turn. Went up by turn. And there were a couple of interpreters.
How did they inform all of you that you could leave the place at dusk?
Well, they just chased us away. So go, then we take it away. Although there would be the interpreter to tell us to go home. Few of them would take upon themselves to be sort of, like leaders. Yeah? Like, for example, one of them, my brother-in-law, my late brother-in-law. So through these few people, the message was passed down to us. Go home.
The interpreters, were they the Japanese themselves?
I really don't know. They're more civilians. I mean, they appear to be civilians. I don't know what they are.
These were the ones who were interpreting for all of you when the Japanese questioned you.
Yeah, the normal, your age, your name, your age, and
they ask it through the interpreters. Did the Japanese give you any kind of instructions before you were allowed to leave?
No.
How did you feel when you were there?
I'll tell you frankly, those days, I mean, at that time, we didn't know about this. You know, these people being taken away, so there wasn't much, not really that fear, you know. I think that was a bit too early for, We didn't know about people taken away, disappeared. You know, all this took place very, rather early, within, say 1 week after the surrender, or within 10 days. So, people had been taken away too early for the news to spread, for such news to spread. So, and at the same, this sort of this activity was more or less taken place simultaneously, you know. Everywhere in Singapore, but the same time, you know. So we won't know what happened here, what happened here, what happened there, really, until well after this had taken place. And some people will be asking now, did this happen to in your place? Any of your young men taken away? Do you know that my nephew or my son has not come home yet? Only weeks after then, people began to ask questions. What happened to the son, the young men?
You mentioned that your uncles and cousins were taken away. You mentioned that your uncles and your cousins were taken away. Did you know why?
No.
No. Were they members of the...
Oh, yes. These two cousins of mine... No, one of them was not even a civil defense. He was strictly a civilian. He was not even a civil... member of civil defense. The other cousin of mine was a member of RAF. His brother. Now these two cousins, they are brothers. They were brothers. The other brother was a very innocent, very harmless chap. He was not even a member of any organization. His younger brother was in the RAF. Serving member of the RAF. Then the two uncles also, they were brothers. One was a member of the civil defense. Civil defense, you know, nothing to do with the army or anything. These two were taken away. For what reason? I was not there. See, that is the usual guesswork. You know, some people guess, oh, they must be, they're working for the government, then they're taken away. Because they're working for the government, they're taken away. They guess the reason. Reason is generally merely guesswork, nothing.
After this incident,
you see, especially the parents of these missing people, of course they didn't give up hope, especially earlier years, they still thought they were taken away to do. To do forced labor, After all these years, nothing hurt, and after the war, even, you know. And then, of course, the old stories of people being shot along the beaches in Singapore. No longer the Changi areas and all, those beaches there. So-called eyewitnesses. From these eyewitnesses, they saw Japanese shooting these people. Well, that again, you see, as far as they're concerned, at that time it was merely hearsay, but here again, you see. But after years, when nothing was heard about it, hope slowly faded. Eventually, they had to accept that they were massacred.
Did the incident of the Japanese rounding up all of you at the concentration area?
A big one.
Did the incident of the concentration centers, did it influence your attitudes towards the Japanese later?
During the occupation? Well, frankly speaking, what could we do then? We were the people in the occupied country, they were the masters. They held the gun. They're not only the colonial masters like the British, they were the masters with guns. During war years, and we also had to think of our survival. Of course, there was hatred, no doubt. But what could we do? Do the minimum to survive. That's all. That would be the attitude. Do the minimum to survive. That's all. More than, of course, majority of us, more than 90%, with a fractional few, would really join them, but the others would willingly work for them. That was out of question to work willingly for them. For the vast majority of us, we work mainly for our safety, not to get ourselves involved with these cruel fellows, especially the Kempeitais. Secondly, to survive, not to get food, to get our basic food to survive the war. And that's where we do our minimum. That's all. That's all we could do. You couldn't rise against them. And we couldn't say, no, I wouldn't want to work with you. Then we would die of starvation there. Where would our next meal come from? Rice was in their hand, the staple food. Rice, the main thing was rice. Oh, rice was in their hand. You don't work with them, you don't get your rice. We must work with them. For most of us, we will work with them. So unwillingly, we work for them, of course. We had to work. We had to. No question about it.